Our reading this afternoon is from Psalm 27, and I'm starting to read at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. And now I'm moving on to verse 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Afternoon, everybody. Okay, so this psalm was supposed to lead us to be encouraged, and it will do eventually when I've finished. But the opening verse starts with, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear?" Well, we all know about fear, don't we? Not many of us get through life without some, let's be fair. But this is specifically about fear of another person. And I'm sure that many of us will have had experience of that as well. I certainly have. And I'm sure a lot of you will have had. Looking at the title of the psalm, we see that it was written by King David. So in my head, being my head, I saw a connection between this opening verse and the story of David and Goliath. And I expect we all know that story, don't we? But let's remind ourselves. I mean, you can read it for yourselves in 1 Samuel 17, but I'm not going to read it, obviously, because we haven't got time. But the Philistines were trying to overcome the Israelites, God's people. Each army was sitting on a hill, one on the other, opposite each other. And the Philistines were trying to overcome. But instead of fighting as a whole army, the Philistines set out Goliath, who was a large man, a giant, it says in the Bible. And his challenge was that the Israelites should find a person and send that man out to fight Goliath, just one-on-one. And whoever won would mean that their nation would rule and enslave the other. Now, the Israelites were a bit scared of that, and nobody will fight Goliath, and really it's not surprising, but why not? Well, obviously, no one would want to put their life on the line, did they? I mean, let's face it, he was big. But also, they didn't want to let down their king or their fellow countrymen. Because obviously, if they lost, they would be slaves. So thinking about it, how was David different? Well, we read that he was a young man, the youngest in the family. He was the one they sent out to look after the sheep. You know, go and look after the sheep. Don't be a nuisance. Go and look after the sheep. And he hadn't been technically trained to fight. So why did he offer to fight? He stood there. He'd actually been sent to take butties to his brothers, basically. And he just turned up and he saw what was going on and he just offered to fight. Well, firstly, he was just totally offended that this man, Goliath, and his people were attacking God's people. Why would he do that? And secondly, he actually had learnt how to fight, because when he was with the sheep, quite often there would be lions and bears attacking the sheep. Now, we don't know about lions and bears in this country, but I can only imagine that it was a bit scary. And he'd learnt to use his weapon, and he'd fought them, and he was still alive. So that tells a story, doesn't it? So then he went out with his sling and his stone and his faith in God and killed Goliath. Hallelujah. So why are we so afraid of other people? And I'm talking now about myself. Sometimes they are just physically bigger than us. You know, and obviously if I was walking down the street, perhaps at night time when I perhaps shouldn't be, and somebody huge came towards me, I might be a little bit not quite. But mostly it's because they have the authority or the power to make our lives a bit more difficult or a lot more difficult. As a teacher sometimes, being faced with 30 or 15 to 16 year olds, it was a little bit scary, or a lot. Walking in there or having them come in to me, which was the better way of doing it, you know, you kind of thought, oh no, I've got them now. But when Ofsted came in, and Sue can judge that as well, it was worse. I was expected not only to get these people to come in, and bear in mind I was teaching RE and they really didn't want to do it. I had to get them to come in, be quiet, sit down and take part in a lesson. But not only that, I was being marked on how I did it. Very scary. And those inspectors feel like they hold a lot of power in their hands. I'm not sure how much they do, really. It feels like they might get me demoted or sacked or just make me feel completely inadequate so that next time I go in, I'm not coping as well. And I'm sure everybody here could have a similar story. So what do we do when we're faced with someone a little bit scary? What was the difference between David, the young lad, and everybody else in the army who, let's face it, has got their armour on and their shields and their everything else, haven't they? Well, basically, it was David's trust in the Almighty God who'd helped him in the past. It's very easy to only see the person who makes us afraid, the Goliath. They're all too obvious. And let's be honest here, God is invisible, and sometimes he seems far away. But I'm sure God knows that. That's one of the reasons Jesus came, as God in a human body, to show us what God is like, and he's still there, and he still cares for us. Sometimes I have to choose to believe that he exists and that he's good. After all, faith wouldn't be faith if there was algebraic proof, would it? Basically. Perhaps we also need to see that the person we're facing and fearing is someone God loves as well. We could choose to pray for them as well as ourselves before, during and after any interchange. And we may need to forgive them. But it's all, above all, it's all about God, as the psalm says. He is our light and salvation. He is the stronghold of our lives. He will keep me safe in his dwelling. I can trust him to look after me, no matter who or what I'm facing. And I can remember back that he got me that job in the first place where I was teaching. I tried to get a maths job, because I've got a degree in maths. I'd done 1 year teaching maths and RE when I first went teaching. after I'd left university. And then I prayed and I said, okay, God, if you want me to do the RE instead, I will do. Bearing in mind, I've no qualifications in it. 3 days it took. I won't go into that. And that is encouraging, isn't it? That he looks after us. We believe in a Father God who loves us. We believe in a God who sent his Son to die for us and sent us free from sin. And he also made a way for us to talk to him wherever we are and about anything we want to, whenever we want. In the middle of the night, when we wake up in the morning, and when we feel bad. And that's encouraging. So if we're faced with someone or something fearful today, then let's be encouraged, because that's what David's talking about. God loves you and he fights for you. And I just want to finish by telling you a story and reading a Bible passage that truly encouraged me at one point and might encourage you. I had year 10, set 3 to teach RE2, basically for the whole year. And it was one of the most difficult classes I ever taught. I can still remember it, and I've been retired for 11 years. It was after lunch on Thursday, and I used to dread it. Half the class were lovely and half really weren't, because it wasn't Friday and they'd had their e-numbers for lunch, basically. And they used to come in and half of them, their whole desire in life was just to make life difficult. Not just for me, but for everybody. And then halfway through the year, one of what I would have called the good girls came and apologised for her behaviour. And she also had bought me a beautifully printed copy of a passage from the Bible that I'll read you in a minute, which I got laminated and put on the wall to encourage myself every day. And I found out afterwards that her father was a pastor in one of the local churches, bless her. And so I'll read it to finish. It's from Romans 8, I'm sure you know it, and I love it. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then can condemn? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that encouraging? Amen.